This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and hello, you unabashed atheist, agnostic, freethinker, skeptic, whatever you like to call yourself. This is a show for those of us who all disbelieve in the same gods.
And I'm Dan Barker. This is the May 17th, 2014 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. We produce this show, and we broadcast originally from Madison, Wisconsin, which is the headquarters of the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. We broadcast in other states, including Texas, Missouri, Michigan, New York, California, and, of course, we podcast all over the cosmos.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of FFRF, that stands for the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a national group that has been going on strong since 78. So does that make us
36, whatever.
And we have two purposes. One of them is not math. To promote free thought, and we're the nation's largest association of atheists, agnostics, and other skeptics, and we work very hard to keep religion out of government as is required by our secular and godless constitution.
Today we have two fascinating guests. On the second half of the show, we're going to talk with Susan Galloway, and in case that name sounds familiar, Susan Galloway is one of the two plaintiffs in the Greece versus Galloway Supreme Court decision that came down earlier this month.
Susan is one of the two plaintiffs. She's a cultural Jew. She and co-plaintiff Linda Stevens sued the city of Greece, New York, over the constantly, chronically Christian public prayers to open their city council meetings. And as you know, the case did not go as any of us wanted. There was a 5-4 split decision on May 5th against our side in favor of governmental prayer written by Justice Kennedy that allows sectarian prayer to open governmental decisions. We talked about that disappointing outcome last week, and so we're really looking forward to talking with Susan Galloway herself, whose name is on the case, Town of Greece versus Galloway. And we want to announce how excited we are that both Susan and co-plaintiff Linda Stevens are both accepting FFRF's Freethinker of the Year Award at our upcoming annual convention at the end of October in Los Angeles. And we hope to have Linda on our show soon.
We also talked last week about FFRF's new out-of-the-closet billboards that our Northeast Ohio chapter has erected in the Cleveland Canton area. And in a couple minutes, we'll talk with the president of that chapter, Marnie Huebner-Taborski, about the challenges of promoting free thought in the not-so-free-thinking Buckeye State.
But first, we have some very exciting news. We don't want you to miss tuning in the very first atheist free thought commercial that ever will air on both The Daily Show by Jon Stewart and The Colbert Report on Comedy Central. Colbert Report with the brilliant Stephen Colbert. That will be on Thursday, May 22nd. It's a 30-second spot that has been recorded for FFRF very wonderfully by one of the most famous atheists today in the United States, and that would be Ron Reagan, who has been outspoken even when his father was president as an atheist and is on our honorary board and has recorded this TV spot, and we want you to tune it in. You can also go to our website to get a sneak preview, and we hope you will help us pay to put this on more networks to speak up. It's never been more important for non-believers to speak up publicly after this Greece decision, which really turned us into second-class citizens.
Can we get a sneak preview of the Ron Reagan ad right now?
Sure.
Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended. Please support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
By the way, it's Ron Reagan's birthday this week on May the 20th. He was born in 1958, and he's still not afraid of burning in hell. So thank you, Ron Reagan, for giving us a very great gift on your birthday. Tune in to The Daily Show and The Stephen Colbert Report
Thursday. And please donate to our advertising fund to take this ad on 60 Minutes and other commercials and speak up for free thought.
Coming up, we're going to talk with Ohio freethought activist Marnie Taborsky, and then later with the Supreme Court plaintiff Susan Galloway. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and stay tuned for more Freethought Radio.
Beware of dogma. This is Freethought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we have a new Out of the Closet billboard campaign blitz in the Cleveland, Akron, Ohio area with our chapter, the Northern Ohio Freethought Society. And we, before we talk about all the billboards, we are going to bring onto the program two of the women who are featured on the billboards and help make it possible.
Marnie Huebner-Taborsky is the director of the Northern Ohio Freethought Society, which is a chapter of FFRF. She's been there since February of 2013, and she's the co-organizer along with her atheist husband. What a way to identify your husband. My atheist husband, Mark Taborsky of the Cleveland Freethinkers. She hopes to someday change our government and keep state and church separate. She's an animal lover. Marnie is an environmentalist and a sci-fi buff.
And we also have Sharon Wozniki. Who is a volunteer, a feminist, human rights supporter, and especially an advocate for non-human rights. And in her spare, I guess that's in quotes, times, she is a legal secretary and was raised as born again, a Pentecostal tradition, and has been an atheist for about 10 years. So the ladies of the Northern Ohio Freethought Society, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Annie, Laurie, and Dan.
And so, Marnie, why don't we start with you as director of the chapter? Do you want to tell listeners what's going on in Cleveland?
What's going on in Cleveland? Well, we are very, very proud to be doing this billboard blitz. Nine billboards are up in Cleveland, and two billboards are up in Akron, south and north sides. And the members of the Northern Ohio Freethought Society have just stepped up to the plate, and I'm just so proud of them for coming out of the closet. Everybody was more than eager to do this, and we've had great response from the billboards, from a whole bunch of different people, and a lot of support, a lot of great words, a lot of encouragement, and I cannot thank FFRF enough for being a part of this. And if I can, I'd like to do a small or a large shout out to the Richard Dawkins Foundation for posting Hemet Mata's post. So I'm going to shout out to him too and thank both of them for this. It's been absolutely phenomenal for us.
So Marnie, can you explain the billboards?
Sure.
They're all different, right? And how many people are actually involved with them?
They are all different, and I think, Sharon, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there are about 20 of us.
Yeah, 19 or 20.
I can't count off the 19 to 20.
Right.
There are actually, in Akron, we're very proud of this too, the Akron Secular Student Alliance, the students from Akron University, six of them, three on one board, three on another, have come out of the closet with their own slogans, very positive affirmations, and the nine billboards that are in Cleveland, all of us have done our own slogans that mean something to all of us. They're very personal. We have one member who is pictured with her two sons. So it's a family billboard.
Little boys, once a baby.
Little boys, yes. Very, very young boys. Very sweet, very cute boys. Very inquisitive boys. They were having a lot of fun at the photo shoot. Almost a little too much fun. But it took a lot of pictures for them because they wanted to play. But she was very excited about this. She was very excited to get them on there.
Now, Marnie, you're on one with your husband, Mark Taborski. Do you want to say what your billboard says?
Yes. We are on one that says, "We are awed by nature, not the supernatural."
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Sharon, you have your own board, and what does that say?
My board says, "Atheism motivates my activism. The world is in our hands."
And you guys got, some of the chapter activists got together and took a picture holding a globe in front of your billboard, and it is such a great picture. It's on the cover of the May Free Thought Today.
The world's in our hands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
that is great.
And it's such a positive affirmation when we're all kind of bruised over the ruling by the Supreme Court about, you know, prayer and governments. Thought it was such a nice response to that. And then there are truly the ladies of the Northern Ohio Free Thought Society, because you are all on your own board too. What's that one say?
You're correct. Sharon, you want me to do it or you want to do it? You can go ahead.
That one says, "We are united and growing in secularism."
And there's five of you on there. I'm Marnie, you're on it, and Sharon. And who else is on that billboard?
There is a woman named Mardell Ward, Susie Wernett, and Lisa Mosham.
So just to be clear, these are full-size roadside billboards with your photos on them and your own self-selected quote and your name and identification, your local people expressing yourself in your own town.
You are correct. That is us. And we are very proud and happy to do so.
And I think I told you, Marnie, when these applications come in, because they come into our office, I am so filled with pride, too, to see the slogans that everybody chooses and learn something about them. And I wondered if you wanted to talk a little bit about the octogenarian couple who are on a billboard.
Yes. Roni and Elliot Berenson have their own board near West 25th in our area, and Roni has been involved in free thought and the free thought movement and civil rights for about 50 years, and she has been involved in several groups in the 50s. She was involved in a secular group that actually, and unfortunately, off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of the group. Sharon, if you can help me out here, you might be able to remember it.
But, no, I can't remember that.
She has been involved in so many things in her life. She was actually our award winner, humanist award winner, last year for one of our local chapters of another national organization. So we were very proud and honored to give her that award, and she was proud to receive it. She's had a lifetime.
She escaped, her family escaped the Holocaust, I think, and she came to this country in 1941 and has been working for social justice ever since. And she, Roni and Elliot Berenson, who live in Chesterland, put on their billboard, "Doing good is our religion."
Correct.
And that's
correct.
Very true.
That was Thomas Paine's.
It is very true.
That was Thomas Paine's motto, to do good is my religion.
Yes, that is why they picked it. Huh.
And
yes, that's exactly.
And did we say what the billboard that all of the women are on? Why did you women all want to be on a billboard together?
Well, we think women seem to be underrepresented in the atheist group. Our group is pretty well balanced right now, but it seems like overall it's a lot of white guys. So we wanted to show that, you know, women are out here too, and we're growing.
And that's what it says. It says, the billboard says, "We are united and growing in secularism."
Mm-hmm.
And
correct.
We want to mention some of the other billboards. You mentioned the students. And we do have a young man who is not white, Miguel Moore.
Yay.
And you want to tell us something about, his says, "Freedom comes from within, not without." And he's a humanist chaplain.
Correct. Yes, he is actually, he was doing this in support for us, and we are actually going to end up sponsoring him for a student Freedom from Religion Foundation membership, because he has not had the money to be able to do that. He wants to, so we're going to grant him that. And he's a humanist chaplain. He has not been able to really get his foot in the door yet, and he's hoping that this reaches out to some people and really gets them to see that there are normal people out there who want to do good, who want to be a part of a bigger movement. And he was gung-ho about this. He was ready to go. He was ready to be put up. And actually, we just received word that there's a big group forming for humanist chaplains, and I'm getting him involved in that, hopefully. I think this is going to broaden his horizons as well. He's going to be very, very pleased with this.
So now that his face is on a billboard, he has the fame. He just now needs the fortune.
Exactly. That's exactly. Don't we all?
And it's a, yes. It's a very handsome face.
He is very handsome, yes. Now, yes.
I don't want to leave anybody out. Who did we miss?
Dave Huntsman. He is on a billboard on our far west side. And if I can get this correct, I believe in secular values, science, and reason.
I have it in front of me. Dave Huntsman's from Peninsula, who's an aerospace engineer, says, "I believe in science, reason, and secular values."
I had it twisted. Okay. Yes. Yes. He's he's just a big advocate of all the science and particularly space exploration. So.
What's fun for me is that I was out there last fall and met so many of your chapter members and stayed with Lisa and her husband. And so these faces are very familiar to me. Fun to have them participate. And here's another face I met, Sam Salerno of Lakewood. And when we talk about just atheists are regular people, his occupation is listed on his billboard that says bricklayer. And I really liked his slogan, not immortal, just a caring mortal.
Exactly right. Exactly right. He actually builds crematoriums.
Hmm. Well, very useful.
Which is interesting. Yeah, very useful, I guess.
Ecological.
Yeah, exactly. And his billboard is actually in the most prominent place it could be in the city of Lakewood. So we're very, very proud. The first time we saw that billboard, it was just, wow. He's right out there. And he's just beaming from ear to ear. He's just so proud of it.
Well, also, you just so kindly sent photos, these group photos. You took a little tour. And some of these are in the May issue of Free Thought Today that people can ask for a sample copy at our website at fff.org or join us and you'll get a membership of our newspaper and see them. But there's a picture that you sent everybody kind of hugging him, the caring mortal. It's very sweet.
I think you also received one where we're trying to strangle him.
Yes, I did. That was cute too. But he looks like he has a lot of friends. And
he does. He does.
Well, we only have about 2 minutes left, so I think we forgot to mention Eric Tawney. Do you want to talk about his billboard?
Eric Tawney, absolutely fantastic billboard. He is a pharmacist, and his billboard, it just lays it straight out there. And I love the fact that all of his words have periods after them. They're all statements.
Yeah, it's
all statements of what he is.
Kind period, compassionate period, good period, fair period, just period, humane period.
Atheist
period, yeah. Huh.
Exactly. That's the most perfect billboard I could think of, especially for him, and he is all of those things.
So, Sharon, did you want to say something more about participating in this?
Well, the one thing that Eric told us, he said that being a pharmacist, he's in one of the most trusted professions, and coming out as atheist, that's one of the least trusted categories.
So hopefully this will change some opinions. Well, thank you so much. We're out of time.
Right.
For making this possible and joining us today. We've been talking with Marnie Taborsky and with Sharon Wozniacki. Is that how we say it?
That's it.
Thank you so much.
And thank
it's been
you.
A lot
thank
of fun.
Thank you both so much.
This is Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. After the break, we're going to speak with Susan Galloway, one of the two plaintiffs in the Greece versus Galloway case about city prayer that was decided earlier this month.
Your hero, Joshua, but his accomplishments are not so great, because there's none like Thomas Jefferson and the wall between church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, church and state, church and state. We got to fight the battle of church and state, or the wall will come a-tumbling down.
And there's none like Susan Galloway. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and that's my co-host, Dan Barker. The battle of church and state, and what a battle.
And we're not going to open today's segment with a prayer.
But we will be introducing a famous name now, a household name. The Supreme Court issued a decision in the town of Greece versus Galloway on May 5th. On sectarian prayer, didn't go our way, didn't go Susan Galloway's way, but we have Susan Galloway on the phone with us from Greece, New York. She's an activist in many causes, and welcome to the show, Susan.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, what a couple weeks it's been for you, huh?
Yeah, it's been pretty exciting, and disappointing, but also very exhilarating in the sense of how much people are discussing this issue now.
And we are very excited that both you and your co-plaintiff, Linda Stevens, have agreed to attend FFRF's National Convention in Los Angeles at the end of October to accept our Freethinker of the Year Award. Both of you will get one, and boy, do you deserve it. And so people will have a chance to meet you then. But It took a lot of courage for you to take this case. And do you want to just kind of tell us how it started and how you got involved?
Yes, sure. Well, I live in the town of Greece, and I began attending board meetings. I had attended some before, but I specifically started attending this time regarding public cable access issue that I had. And over the time period, I saw a pattern of the prayers going out and being always Christian and very sectarian in some cases. And Linda and I had known each other before, and we had talked, and we had set up a meeting to talk to the supervisor, and we talked to some other people instead that he wasn't there, but within the town government, and they asked him about going and, you know, how we felt about this and how uncomfortable and how we felt that it violated the our rights to not have to pray and in the Christian religion, and that it was, we thought, a violation of the Constitution. They basically said, well, you can not listen or you can leave, and we decided that that was not okay, and eventually we ended up filing a lawsuit.
So when did you first encounter the prayer? Are we talking about 5 years ago, or how long has this been going on?
2007.
And so I think in the course of the litigation, it's come out that these prayers were not a long-time tradition. Is that not right?
Well, originally, there was, in the town of Greece, a moment of silence. But when the supervisor that was in office when we filed the lawsuit, he had been in office about 10 years at that point, came into office, he had decided that it should be a prayer opening the town board meeting. And since his start of this practice, they had only had Christian prayer givers. And when we filed the lawsuit, they had a few token non-Christian, four in fact.
Afterwards.
Well, three. One was a repeat.
So I think they brought it. What, did they bring in a Hindu or an Wiccan and something like that?
Well, what it was, they had a Jewish layperson and then a person from Baha'i Temple, which is located in Greece, and also somebody who is Wiccan who had called in after hearing about this. Both the Baha'i and the Wiccan actually called in specifically because they had heard about the case and wanted to do the prayer. The layperson, Jewish layperson, I guess, was a neighbor of one of the council people. And so I guess he finally decided to ask him if he would come in and do it.
So to set the scene, these prayers started in 1999. They've all been Christian, except for four, when you guys complained. And to date, every other prayer has been a Christian prayer, usually by a clergy person. Is that right?
Yes.
So yes. That's what you were litigating.
Correct. And actually, there had not been anybody at the time when we first started complaining that was not Christian.
So when they brought in the Jewish layperson to do a prayer, do you think their intention was to satisfy you because you have Jewish heritage? And whether that was their intention or not, were you at the meeting where that happened, and how did you feel about that?
Well, I was there, and I'll be honest with you, whatever he was saying, it was not something that I had been brought up saying it or that I recognized. But I don't think that prayer belongs at town board meetings.
That's right.
I think that whether it's a Jewish prayer and or a Christian prayer or anybody, it's going to make somebody not feel welcome or excluded. And in my opinion, that does not belong at a board meeting. Everybody should feel welcome in their town board meeting. Everybody should feel like they want to participate and feel a part of the community. And I think that's a big way of excluding people.
Well, of course, we completely agree with you, and it goes without saying, but can we talk a little bit more about your frustration when you first encountered this and you and Linda tried to talk with them about how you felt? I mean, did you feel that they totally wrote off and did not get your complaint?
Yes. I first thought, you know, because if you're not in, you know, if you have never experienced something like what we were experiencing, I thought maybe they just didn't get it. You know, they were brought up Christian, and they don't get the feeling of people who are not of that faith or do not feel like those prayers represent them. And that if with explaining it, maybe they would understand and say, wow, you know, like the aha moment. It didn't happen.
That did not happen with the Supreme Court either.
No. I think that people do, you know, I think oftentimes that people, if you're not in that minority, whether, you know, this time with religious minority, that they don't understand what it's like for that minority group. And especially with government. Government is for all the people, not just the majority.
The social scientists talk about this phenomenon as a kind of in-group bias. You're almost unable to see outside of your own bubble. Here's a city council that has heard from members that their action is offending
citizens.
And excluding them from citizens, and they're making people feel bad, and yet they're proud to keep doing this thing that they have been told makes people feel like outsiders.
Well, I think that sometimes it's very encouraging for politicians to be, you know, to be that way. You know, it's is some people very much will support people like that. And I don't know if that's the case, but I know that in my town they use the prayer issue as a wedge issue. And especially after we filed the lawsuit with reelection, when the previous supervisor was being reelected, he specifically pointed out the prayer case on his flyers.
So, yeah, campaigning on it, basically.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell us a little bit more about the town of Greece, New York? I know it's near Rochester, but how big is it?
There's about 90,000, I think they said. And it's up near the lake, Ontario, and it's a large town, and there's a variety of people that live here. I mean, if you go to the mall or someplace like that, you'll see people of all races and, you know, as I said, a variety of people. They do not look homogeneous in any way.
Do you call yourselves Grecians?
I don't. But I don't know if other people do. I don't think that, I question the idea of democracy and that everybody is equal here, as we found out with this lawsuit.
Now, we are talking with Susan Galloway. The name in the town of Greece versus Galloway, Supreme Court decision announced May 5th against Susan Galloway and her co-plaintiff, Linda Stevens. It's an Americans United for Separation of Church and State case. Very important case about whether it's constitutional to have sectarian prayer to open city council meetings. And they didn't have the swing. They didn't vote right. It was 5-4 against us. And we are delighted to be talking, though, with Susan Galloway on the phone about what it was like to take this case. And we're going to come back in a minute. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
And we'll kind of ask you, Susan, some questions about how you've been treated and what it was like to go to the Supreme Court for the oral arguments, and any final thoughts about this battle of church and state.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And on May the 5th, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decision in the Greece versus Galloway case about city prayers, in which the swing vote judge, Justice Kennedy, said sectarian Christian prayers are allowed at government bodies, specifically at city council meetings. But he also said, as long as there's not a pervasive pattern of proselytizing or denigrating someone else's religion, and as long as the prayers are open to all points of view.
Well, he didn't say it quite that directly, but I think that's how we're going to interpret it.
So, in other words, Christians have the right to get up there and pray to Jesus occasionally, but anyone in the community has a right then to petition, to ask for a chance. So because of that, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is going to fight back this bad decision, we think, by encouraging our members and other non-believers around the country to open their city council meetings with a non-religious or free thought or secular invocation or homily, whatever you want to call it. So we have a Nothing Fails Like Prayer contest that if you will do that in your community and videotape it, you can enter the contest. And what is the prizes, Annie Laurie?
Well, it's an all-expense-paid trip to our 37th annual convention in Los Angeles at the luxury hotel, the Biltmore, where they used to have the first Academy Awards, and to be opening the convention with this secular invocation where you'd meet Susan Galloway, who we have on the phone with us, and Linda Stevens, who took that case, and a real roster of distinguished activists, attorneys, freethinkers at our national convention, and a $500 prize and a plaque and all that. And everybody who's eligible, who submits something, will get a certificate suitable for framing, a Nothing Fails Like Prayer certificate. So we hope to foment a little bit of rebellion. But, and now, speaking of rebellion, we have on the phone Susan Galloway, who is the plaintiff with Linda Stevens, who took this case to the U.S. Supreme Court. Welcome back to the show, Susan.
Thank you for having me again.
And I want to also say thank you to you, because you called up this week, and that's how we happened to get acquainted. We knew Linda because she's a member of FFRF, but you called to thank us because we did an amicus brief, and I thought that was awfully nice and to touch base. And we couldn't have been more thrilled to do an amicus brief on behalf of your very important fight. And why don't you tell us what it's been like personally, since this has gotten a lot of notoriety throughout the challenge and since the decision came down? How have you been treated?
I guess it depends on, you know, some people have treated me as, you know, they have said thank you, this was important, appreciate you speaking out. Other people have not gotten it and say, you know, this is a waste of time, I don't understand why you did this. Other people have downright, you know, have been, you know, not so happy and have, you know, when we first started out, we got death threats, you know, I don't know if I'd say death threats, but, you know, warning us not to go to town board meeting.
Wow.
I know Linda had some damage done to her home. I know that there were a lot of things posted online and that, you know, we were not viewed by some, including some of the clergy that did the prayer, who said some disparaging things while in front of the town board or while doing the prayer towards us.
And now some of those disparaging things actually got, of course, into the court record, and Justice Kennedy managed to not find them disparaging enough to say they created a pattern. But what did some of those clergy say?
Basically calling us a bigot, calling us ignorant of the history of the United States. So I think that it's you know, it, the whole thing with the decision, I found it interesting how 4 people out of 12 years can, justices can think that is okay, and that is showing that there's diversity and that they don't take into consideration that if you have a policy that and you don't publicize it or do anything about it, that how is there a policy?
Well,
so
yeah.
I think that was kind of I don't understand that.
Well, I agree with you, because I think that shows a pattern of proselytizing and disparagement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And you know, some of these clergy members, that's their whole purpose in life, is to proselytize.
And their Bible even calls us nonbelievers fools. We are filthy. We are corrupt. We've never done any good thing. What could be more disparaging than that?
And
it is ridiculous. And to say that, you know, that I didn't get it. I wasn't surprised, but I thought Kagan wrote a good dissent.
Strong.
Although I don't agree with the fact that, because I do believe that if you have any kind of prayer, a non-sectarian or sectarian, that you are still leaving people out, and that is wrong. Government should be inclusive. You should want people to participate. That's what democracy is about.
And I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that Americans United was a little bit shy of promulgating that complaint, you know, that they didn't necessarily want to have the emphasis being that any prayer, all prayer, is inappropriate by a government body. They were concentrating on the sectarian portion.
Well, I think that I think the fact of this court also you have to look at, and how far was this court going to go?
Yeah, not too far.
Yeah, so I think you have to look also at the whole strategy idea. But you know, our case, we had over 12 years of video of these prayers. I mean, we had so much information, and it was so obvious about the pattern, and yet they ruled against us.
Well, it was Kennedy's fault. He could have bounced the right way, and in this case, he didn't.
Yep, and I think it, as I said, I think it says something that all the people of all the non-majority faith were on the dissenting side.
Yeah, we had, that's right. Well, we had three, at least nominally, Jewish plaintiffs, and Sonia Sotomayor, who is Roman Catholic but knows what it's like to be a minority, is much more liberal. And then we had the five ultra-conservative, all-Catholic justices voting in lockstep. Those, so it was really, yeah, very dismaying, but also so heartening that you took this case and you and Linda were so committed, and we are really grateful to you, and we are really looking forward to meeting you in person at the 37th Annual National Convention of FFRF on the weekend of October 24th and 26th in Los Angeles at the Biltmore. And you're going to join a good lineup. And, well, thank you so much for everything you've done.
Thank you so much, and keep up the good fight.
Okay.
That was Susan Galloway, the plaintiff in Greece versus Galloway. Thank you, Dave McCann, for producing and engineering our show again, and Buzz Kemper for announcing it. FFRF.org/news/radio is your source for all things Freethought Radio.
So join us, ask for more information at FFRF.org, and there's more about the Greece case in our May issue of Freethought Today. You can get a sample copy. And we'll next week be interviewing separately two brilliant women authors from Boston who are actually best friends, just pure coincidence, novelist and philosopher Rebecca Neuberger Goldstein about her new book, Plato at the Googleplex, and Megan Marshall, who just won the Pulitzer for her new bio on Margaret Fuller. So tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us.